10% of WYXR's annual funding, $85,000, used to come from federal support. That funding is now gone. If you enjoy this archive, please make a donation, start a monthly gift, or add a few dollars to your current one. As public media faces an uncertain future, support from our Memphis community matters more than ever. Give now at WYXR.org. When you're got no place to go, can't find a lover, can't find no friend, can't call you so and so. Put your hand on the radio. Can you feel it down on your toes? Can you feel it? That's how it goes. Can you feel it? Lord only knows. Can you feel it?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at Founders Square Pavilion at the Neshoba County Fair, right outside of Philadelphia, Mississippi. Normally a very warm night at the fair, but tonight we have been blessed with the weather gods who have really smiled down on us. It is a beautiful evening on the fairgrounds and in this pavilion, and we've got a great show lined up for y'all. We've got Mr. Webb Wilder, y'all. Webb Wilder. Oh, yes. How about it? Webb Wilder is here. It has a brand new album out, y'all. Hillbilly Speedball. That's right. Makes a great Mother's Day gift. Also, Rising Stars Fife and Drum, y'all. A wonderful percussion duo keeping alive a centuries-old tradition from Africa to Mississippi. And also, Marshall Ramsey is here, y'all. Marshall Ramsey, Pulitzer Prize-winning nominee, also an Emmy Award winner, an editorial cartoonist, an author, and an all-around great guy, cancer survivor, and advocate. We're going to be talking about all that. Great guy. But, y'all, we love our house band. They've served us on this show as long as we've been going. They open and close the show. Please bring them to the stage. It is the Yellow Bushwhackers.
wife, cut off his hat, say, shave my head, clean as your hand.
Yeah, the Bushwhackers, y'all, one more time for them, please. Let them hear you. Ricky Burkhead on the drums, Slade Lewis on the bass, Keon Love on the keyboards, and up front, that wild man, Paul Tate, ladies and gentlemen, the Yalla Bushwhackers. They'll be back later in the show. Tear this old building down. As a matter of fact, Paul Tate, this building was erected in 1894, my friend. Yeah. I remember that day as if it were yesterday. It was a very hot day. 1894, and of course the fair started, let me check this, 1889, is that right? Originally the Coldwater Fair. It was called the Coldwater Fair, which just sounds nice. But now we are the Neshoba County Fair. They've been going all these years and many more years to come, and Thacker Mountain Radio has been proud to be part of it, as I mentioned, for 15 years. And while we're talking years, Webb Wilder, y'all, has put his time in writing songs, being on the road, playing the songs for the people. Brand new album out called Hillbilly Speedball. As we mentioned, thank you, Mrs. Speedball. Tempered Restraint with Raucous Abandon. Ooh, that's all what we need right now, Webb. So also, you can catch Webb on the web, if you will, a weekly radio show, The List, on WMOT. That is Middle Tennessee State, Murfreesboro. He's The List with Webb Wilder, a weekly radio show.
Five radio shows a week.
Five a week?
Yeah.
Man, and just you. You don't have a co-host. And also, if that's not enough, you can catch him in some movies he's done over the year, and also a gig he keeps going, the on-call representative of the Slim Whitman Benevolent Society, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all please welcome the man. He's working hard, he's playing hard, he's wearing glasses if he needs them. You love him, he's the Hillbilly Speedball himself, Mr. Webb Wilder.
Thank you. Thank you for that glorious introduction. It's great to be here on the site of this venerable and historic world's largest house party, might as well get world, right? It's the world's largest house party, the famous Neshoba County Fair. This is a song, I'm a slow learner. I think I started trying to write it in 1989, but it is on the new Hillbilly Speedball album. You know, all you really need is a couple of good moves. A deep cut, it didn't bleed much, but it taught me a couple of good moves. I hung around some, played dumb, I turned my rut into a groove. Well, I got scared out there, declared, repaired, fell off the limb at the top of the tree. Tried the best to do it, can't get rid of me. That took a pot shot at your sweet spot. Looks like you might have got grazed, but likely as not, what you got seems to have left you unfazed. High stakes, deep fakes, heartbreaks, for Pete's sake. Don't do nothing if you don't know what to do. Walk it like you talk it, that ought to do for you sometimes. you'll find all you need is a couple of good moves in time. Find all you need is a couple of good moves. Only one or two ought to do for you. Couple of good moves. Sometimes you'll find all you need is a couple of good moves. I got mine in time. All you need is a couple of good moves. Sometimes you'll find all you need is a couple of good moves. In time you'll find all you need is a couple of good moves.
So much. I think I left my voice in Water Valley, so you're very kind. I appreciate it. It's great to be here Saturday night at the Neshoba County Fair. Come on, what could be better for the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour, folks? It's just like a win, win, win. You know, I got deep, deep roots in the Magnolia State. I was born and raised in Hattiesburg, and I had aunts and uncles all in New Orleans and Jackson, right? And so I thought they were all lovable squares. Little did I know that about the time I was born, my aunt and uncle folded their now we know to be iconic record label, Trumpet Records. My uncle was in the furniture business the whole time, so it was years after I started playing music that I realized somebody in my own family had caught lightning in a bottle because they recorded the original Dust My Broom by Elmore James and all the Sonny Boy Williamson stuff, including the one covered by The Who on the Tommy Hour. Album, rather. So, yeah, it's pretty wild. So on the new album, I covered a lesser-known one by a guy named Willie Love and the Three Aces. And this is a unique song because in this song, the guy's really looking forward to his significant other's funeral so he can drive his brand-new shiny car there. It's called the V8 Ford Blues. I'm gonna get Big Bohogan to come and dig your grave. I bring my pickaxe and shovel so I can jump it down in your face. I'll be right down at your burying. I'm riding in my VA Ford. Because you think you're so wise, darling. Ooh, girl, I declare you just don't know. Now, when you down your insurance, get your safety accident too. You better watch your step, girl. Something might happen to you. I'll be right down at your burying. I'm riding in my V8 Ford. Because you think you're so wise, darling. Girl, I declare you just don't know. I get my guess in the morning. I check my old lady died. Then I don't have to worry. I know everything's all right. I'll be right down at your burying. Oh, Lord. Riding in my V8 Ford, cold-blooded. Because you think you're so wise, darling. Ooh, girl, I declare you just don't know. Get the doctor, get the undertaker too. Then the three of us gonna figure out, girl, what did become of you. I'll be right down at your burying. I'm riding in my be 8 foot. Because you think you're so wise, darling, who gonna declare you just don't know? Who, yeah. Thank you. They said I could do three songs, and I really should end on a high note, but if you'll indulge me, I'm going to do the softest song on the new album. You know, I grew up listening to albums by people like the Beatles, and to me, the idea of a good album, it would have deliberately different kinds of things on it. By the time they let me start making records, they wanted one thing so they could market it, but I've never changed because, you know, the Beatles did Long Tall Sally and Yesterday. It's called Putting on a Show. You were his audience of one, but he was only having fun. You had just begun to see the two of you as one. Didn't you know it wasn't so? He was just putting on a show. They say that all the world's a stage, and on it all of us must play many different parts. Best be careful with your heart. I told you so not long ago. He was just putting on a show. Never speak the title of the Scottish play. Wherever you rehearse, if we shadows have offended, you must say, to break the witch's curse. He knew his lines, he looked the part. You were spellbound from the start. Practiced in the art of making friends and stealing hearts. Even though you loved him so, he was just putting on a show. Never speak the title of the Scottish play. Wherever you rehearse, if we shadows have offended, you must say, to break the witch's curse. Now it's past time to strike the stage. If you permit that turn of phrase, the leading man has disengaged. It's the closing of the play. Let it go, it's tough, you know. He was just putting on a show.
Webb Wilder, y'all. Let him hear you, please. Let him hear you. Webb Wilder, Hillbilly Speedball is the name of that new album. Webb will join us after the show at the Thacker table. We'll sign your copy and your mom's copy of Hillbilly Speedball. Man, you gotta tip your hat to old Webb, keeping it going. And of course, that famous credo, you all know, work hard, rock hard, eat hard, sleep hard, grow big, wear glasses if you need them. And trust your gut, even if it's a beer gut. Words to live by, ladies and gentlemen. Webb Wilder, one more time for him. He is the man. I want to remind you that you are listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us on WUMS, University of Mississippi, WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, the stations of Alabama Public Radio. Anybody from Alabama by chance? Always love our Alabama business. All right. WUTC, Chattanooga, Tennessee. WUOT, Community Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. And KNCE, True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. Absolutely. Also, our sponsors, we would like to thank the Neshoba County Fair. Thank you so much. Man, the Pearl River Resort and Mr. Scott F. Long. Also, the Marty Stewart Congress of Country Music. Anytime you can be associated with Marty Stewart, I am down with it. You too can be a Thacker Backer, as I mentioned, and keep the old show rolling along through thick and thin, ladies and gentlemen. More info at ThackerMountain.com or come see Lucy here in Poison. Keon Love, he's in person over here. Thank you, Keon. Yes, yes, yes. We actually brought some nice hand fans that we absolutely don't need. Yeah, but we'll do something with them. I mean, this thing is blowing on me, and it's like, am I going to cut this fan off? No, I'm not. All righty, our next guest is Marshall Ramsey. What a... Not going to read the entire resume because it's only a one-hour show, ladies and gentlemen, but two-time Pulitzer finalist, a 2022 Southeastern Emmy Television Award winner, nationally syndicated editorial cartoonist, as you know. Also short story collections, Fried Chicken and Wine, also Chainsaws and Casseroles. The children's books, Banjo's Dream and Saving Sam, a Banjo the Dog story. And Saving Sam was recently put on the list of best reads from the best places by the Library of Congress and will be featured at the National Book Festival in Washington, D.C. this fall. Multi-talented Mr. Marshall Ramsey.
Thank you. Thank you.
You see our click thing. All righty. Boy, you are something.
I don't ever tip the waiter before the meal. You know, it's like I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, right. You can just walk off right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's great.
Yeah, you, in addition to all of this hard work you do, the cartoons and all, you have made the opposite of a secret. You actually are an advocate, a cancer advocate. You had melanoma.
Yes.
And caught it early enough. And you are now a very big advocate of early detection, right?
I love to tell people that I got a hip attacked by a shark. That's really great.
Right. You got the scar.
I got the scar to prove it. No, it's great. I'm very fortunate. Three doctors missed it. The fourth caught it. Melanoma is kind of like that crack on your windshield. How many people in the audience have had a crack on your windshield? I know. It's the Mississippi hidden tax. But anyway, they caught it early. I was able to have surgery. So I've been going around for the last 20 years telling people to go get checked, and it's really paid off.
It just so happens that you remember, and we all would remember, getting that phone call. But tell us about the day you got the call that you have cancer.
So the day I was diagnosed with cancer was April 17, 2001, which was the day of the Mississippi flag vote. So I'd been getting threats all day long because of my cartoons. And then 5:30, my doctor calls and says, "You've got cancer." And I started laughing. And he's like, "Why are you laughing? You have cancer." I said, "Nicest call I've had all day. Thank you." So it was great.
That's a rough day.
It was a rough It worked out okay because here I am.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Amen. And,
yeah.
It's good to be vertical.
Bless you. You said it was, how would you like to have the idea in your head that your skin is trying to kill you?
It took a little while to get past that.
Yeah. And in fact, when you were telling me you had the operation, you had the scar, you were on the beach soon after that. And
Parents decided, hey, let's make Marshall feel better. He's had skin cancer. Where can we take him? Let's take him to the beach. I told my dad, I said, "If buy a gun, it's cheaper than a condo, okay, if you want to kill me." But anyway, so I'm in all day watching Dr. Phil, and 4 o'clock rolls around. I take my shirt off, I go running in the water, and I see a lady staring at me. Okay, that never has happened in my life. A woman has never stared at me. So I'm looking at her, and I see her two little girls swimming there. And I had two choices, I had two paths. I could get offended, or I could tell a joke. And I just looked at her, and I said, "Oh, this," and I pointed at my scar, and she realized that she'd been busted. She's all blushing and everything, and she said, "I'm so sorry." I said, "Ma'am, it's okay. It was a shark attack, and it happened right where your little girls are swimming." And I am not kidding you. She grabbed her kids and ran out of the water. Wow. And my wife's over there going, you're going to over and over and over. But I tell you what, that's what we need to do. We need to learn to tell more jokes in our lives. It'd be a lot better place.
Man, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
A lot of folks may not know. Now, your cousin, as some folks may or may not know, Doug Ramsey, right?
Dave Ramsey.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
He's
He handles money. That's why I don't know him.
Doug Ramsey.
Yeah,
real
Dave Ramsey.
Cool.
He's your cousin.
He's my dad, my cousin, and my son. My people are from East Tennessee.
Wow.
There's three different people there, though, I swear.
You two have collaborated on a series, and I think this is a great idea, of children's finance books. We do the illustrations, and he gives tips for kids at that level, how they can kind of start thinking that way.
It was a lot of fun, and that kind of whet my appetite for doing children's books, being able to work with him on that. And we've, of course, done the two banjo books, so that's been a lot of fun.
Yes. Now, this one, Saving Sam.
Yes.
Chosen by the Mississippi Library Commission to represent Mississippi on the national level as Great Reads from Great Places. I think that's a wonderful title. There's an adult, grown-up category, and you got the in the young
naturally,
readers.
I don't get the grown-up category.
Yeah, right.
So I'm kind of
when you're telling all these shark jokes, what do you expect? So this book is now sort of it too tells a story for our times.
Yeah, it really does. You know, so, and I'm going to tell you the banjo story in just a minute, but what happened was I did the first banjo book and then life happened and I didn't do a second one. And then the pandemic hit. So I started using the banjo characters for free coloring sheets. And I did one a day for 1,000 days. I did over 1,000 coloring sheets. And I was interviewing Michael Ferris Smith for a radio show. And if y'all had read Michael's work, he's incredible. But I told him the story of what I had an idea for banjo for this book. And he's like, dude, go write it right now. And I went home and wrote it in 45 minutes, the book. And illustrated it in about a month, and we got it published, and it's done really well. The point was, in the first book, Banjo's a hero. In this book, Banjo learns to truly be a hero. Sometimes you have to have really good friends.
Man, that is so true, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I read the book today, and I was loved the little jokes you stick in there, like at the dog bar, the public restroom is a fire hydrant, and then... in the dog bar, and the tip jar is full of bones. Really nice touches. So you throw in stuff for not just this 8 or 9 year old reader, but anybody can enjoy
it. Well, think about it. I'm really a really tall 8 or 9 year old, so it works out pretty well for me today.
Well,
too.
You get a lot
fun.
Done for 8 or 9 year old.
Thank you.
We do want to hear about Saving Sam, a banjo the dog story, chosen as a great read from a great place, and that would be Mississippi. Y'all, please welcome Miss Marshall.
Thank
Ramsey.
You. Thank you. Thank you. All right, I'm not going to read from the book because it's like really short and it's got a lot of pictures. Now, I will tell you this. My cartoons do look a lot better on the radio. Okay, it really helps my artwork a lot. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Banjo, right? So Banjo was a real dog. So was Sam. So was Pip. Mr. ML was real too, but he was not our pet because I'm not going to keep a 12-foot alligator in my house. But look, Banjo is a true story. He was an incredible little brown dog. And of course, we did the couple children's books based on him. His name, like I said, was Banjo. He was a used dog. Now, let me make that clear. Number one, if you're by your third family, you are not a rescue dog, okay? Banjo was we were his third family, so he was definitely a used dog. And his journey started in Nashville, Tennessee, which explains a lot how he was named Banjo. He lived with a nice couple and their Great Dane. And from what I understand, everything was peachy until the wife went back to work. Now, Banjo wasn't real happy about that, apparently, and he went full beaver and ate their wood floors. I know. Soon, Banjo lived in Atlanta. All right, so Banjo met a new family, and they had a dog named Bullet. Now, as you can imagine, if you live with somebody named Bullet, things probably are not going to work out real well. And Banjo and Bullet were what you call frenemies, right? So you had... one minute they were like besties, and the next minute they tried to kill each other. So one day I'm walking across the kitchen, my phone rings, I pick it up, and it's the lady who we'd gotten our other dog from, Molly. And I heard on the voice say, "How would you like a second dog?" And what I heard was, "How would you like to double your vet bills?" And before I could say no, the phone was out of my hand and into my wife's hand, and she said, "We will be there in 6 hours." And before you could say, Atlanta is a terrifying place to drive, we were standing in the basement of this lady's house, and this little brown dog walks across the floor into our hearts. And he became part of the family that day. He was truly incredible. And I got to tell you, it was true that when we went home, that my wife went through Alabama with a banjo on her knee. Yeah. Okay, I love this crowd because if I ever tell this joke to anybody under 50, they look at me like I'm from Mars, right? So thank you. You make me feel better. But anyway, it was a true story. Rode over there. And back to that story, you know, really all things were peaceful in the house. Banjo got along with our other dog and our 26-pound tabby cat. Yes, 26-pound tabby cat. He was from Texas. Everything's larger in Texas, and Sam was huge. He loved our two boys at the time, and we all loved Banjo. When Banjo turned 10, we had a third child. We couldn't figure out what was causing this, but we ended up having yet a third boy. My wife teared up because she wanted a little girl. She blamed me. I think it actually was my fault, technically. I remember that from biology. But the little boy who is now, he's grown up, he's 18, about to go to college. But at the time, he woke up every single hour during the night. We were not getting REM sleep at our house. And Banjo started getting up every hour, too, to go to the bathroom. And we thought, wow, Banjo's got empathy. No, Banjo had diabetes. And unfortunately, he was sick, and, you know, we had to take good care of him. And everything really, honestly, it worked out pretty well, but it was kind of a roller coaster. Like, one day, I'd be sitting there, and I'd hear my boys yell, Dad, Banjo fell off the bed. And we'd go and rub K-Ro syrup on his gums, and he'd pop back up, and he'd be good. And he ate a special diet, no treats for Banjo. But thanks to social media, Banjo kind of became a legend in a way. He had a worldwide fan club. People loved him. And, you know, he became even the spokes dog for the Diabetes Foundation. Little kids actually would walk up to him and they'd say, Mommy, I want to be like Banjo. I want to grow old and smell. You know, it was just like, it was so cute. And then I remember the diabetes people came to my son's school and said, do you know anybody with diabetes? And my son's hand shot up and he said, my dog has got diabetes. Banjo did really well, and I tell you, he was a rock star. He was just an incredible dog. Well, a few years ago, I had the fortune, I like to tell people, of being made part-time by the Clarion Ledger. And when that happened, I had to take on a second job. And so that second job was a radio show on a statewide network. And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. But the problem about a radio show that's daily, you know, with cartoons, you can draw and you can go and everything's great. But with a radio show, you kind of got to be there, right? So my family decided they wanted to go on a vacation. They went to Destin. They left me with Banjo. And I got to take care of him. We were kind of bachelors together. It was a lot of fun, watched a lot of TV. And when I would come home every day, he would greet me like I was liberating Paris. And then one night I came home and there was no greeting. And there was no Banjo. The kitchen was covered with excrement and vomit. In the corner, it was a balled up, barely alive Banjo. He had a vicious pancreatic attack, and I scooped him up and whisked him off to the emergency vet, and the prognosis was really grim. The vet looked me in the eye, and I remember this like it was yesterday, and he said, we'll do our best. We'll call you if you need to come and say goodbye. Well, I went home and I tried to sleep. And as you can imagine, I couldn't sleep, but I was laying there in bed. And about 3:30 in the morning, the phone rang and I looked and saw it was from the vet. And it was the call that I dreaded. This voice from the vet said, you're going to have to come and say goodbye to Banjo. And tears flowed as I drove the Green Mile. It was just the saddest trip I'd ever make. And then, you know, the vet had left the emergency clinic's back door open to let me in. And so I walked in, there was a long corridor into a main room, and then in that main room there was cages, and all the animals were asleep, you could hear them snoring. And in the middle, and it was almost like a production designer from Hollywood designed this, because you had this table, and you had this spotlight down on Banjo, and Banjo was laying there, hooked up for sound, as I say, because he had tubes running in him, his little heart was beating really fast, and I just walked up to him, and I saw he was fighting. So here I am, 6'1", 225 pounds. I lay down on the table with this 24-pound dog, and I start petting him, and I start talking to him. And I started by saying the truth, right? Because I said, you know what? We love you. We are so grateful you've been part of our family. And we were so proud of how he had fought off those squirrels that had dared to bother him and come in the backyard. And we told him how big his heart was and how his courage was mighty. And I started stroking his brown fur and assured him he was loved. Because, you know, Banjo spoke fluent English, so I knew he understood every single thing I was saying. And then I lifted up his little tiny triangle ear and whispered three words: if you beat this, I will write the check. Before I could get the last word out of my mouth, his little eye went bink. And he looked at me, and 3 days later, that stupid dog walked out of that vet thing. And I wrote the biggest check I have ever written for an animal in my life. And I wrote on the memo line, "For Lazarus." As we left, the veterinarians lined up and gave Banjo a standing ovation. I kid you not, because we had just bought them Porsches. It was incredible. Look, for many years, there hung a drawing of Banjo in that clinic because he literally became the patron saint for animals who wanted to live. And live he did. He got older. He did eventually pass away. We were all with him and held him as he headed over the Rainbow Bridge. And when I called the breeder to tell her that that Banjo had passed, she started crying because Banjo was the son of her favorite dog, Courageous. That was the dog's name. And I was so appropriate that Banjo was named after Courageous. And she said to me, she said, "My friend in Maryland just had puppies." And I said, "You have a very talented friend to be able to have puppies." And she said, no, his dog had puppies, you idiot. But anyway, Pip was born the same exact moment that Banjo died. So we always hoped a little bit of his soul ended up in her, but it didn't, because she was definitely her own dog. She was crazy. Look, I couldn't have come up with a sequel for the book, but I'm so proud that it did. And I've been very proud that Banjo's spirit has lived throughout these years and have been able to be a big part of other kids' lives. I have kids come up and say, "You're Banjo's dad." And I'm very, very proud of that. Look, his will to live was driven by his love for us. And it was a deep lesson that I took from my little brown dog. If you can dream it, you can do it. So I turned, like I said, into an A to Z book, and I've got this one now as well. And I got to say that I am so incredibly proud to be Banjo's dad, and I'm so glad to be able to share that story with you tonight. Thank you.
Marshall Ramsey, y'all, one more time for him, please. Saving Sam, a Banjo the Dog story. Marshall will join us at the table afterwards and sign your copy. And I hope he doesn't draw a little cartoon on everybody's book, because I've seen him do that. We could be here a minute. But it makes a great gift for the 8 or 9 year old reader in your life, or even beyond. Like I said, I had a wonderful afternoon reading Saving Sam, a Banjo the Dog story. Good stuff. Marshall Ramsey. You're a good man, Marshall Ramsey. I'm glad you're here, man. Thank you. Raised in Georgia, went to the University of Tennessee, now employed by the University of Mississippi. If I were in charge, you'd be the ambassador to the UN, because you can bring everybody together. All righty. Our next guest, y'all, a musical tradition that goes back literally centuries, is the fife and drum tradition, originally from Africa, brought over to the United States another 100 years ago. In North Mississippi, Otha Turner, the great Otha Turner, was known as the fife and drum master in that neck of the woods, and he has handed that music down now to his granddaughter, Sade Thomas, who, as I've seen her playing since she was knee-high to a grasshopper, as they say, and is still keeping the tradition alive. She and her husband now, Chris Mallory, are the Rising Stars Fife and Drum Band. Y'all, please bring them to the stage, the Rising Stars. Thank you.
everyone. How y'all doing? Y'all ready to have a good time? Y'all got to show us some love. It's our first time here, y'all. Y'all doing good? All right, we are the Rising Stars Fife and Drum Band. We're so honored to be here today. I'd like to do my favorite song. You guys are gonna help us sing it. They're like, I don't know about that. It's a simple song. It's just two words. It's hey, everybody. So we're gonna try it. Let's see. Thank you so much. You guys sounded so great. So great. Once again, we're so honored to be here. We are the Rising Stars Fife and Drum Band, continuing such an old tradition that my grandfather, Mr. Otha Turner, started. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's hear it for them, y'all. Rising Stars, Fife and Drum. Sade Thomas, Chris Mallory, touring the world with this great music. And they have an album out called The Art and Evolution of Fife and Drum Music. Wonderful album with a lot of guest stars on it. Really covers a lot of ground. We'd like to thank all our guests and thank y'all all for being here tonight. What a beautiful evening at the Neshoba County Fair. Bone dry. All our guests, if you don't mind, Mr. Webb Wilder, y'all. Webb Wilder, the last of the real men, the hillbilly speedball. He'll join us at the table afterwards. Thank you so much, Webb. Also, Mr. Marshall Ramsey. How about Marshall Ramsey? Saving Sam. He will sign copies of Saving Sam right here. You know your niece and nephew need a copy of that book. And one more time again for the Rising Stars, Fife and Drum. Y'all were great. You stood up and sang with them. I couldn't believe it. All righty. Thank y'all for having us here. We would hope to be back next year. We appreciate coming every year. And we also appreciate all our listeners on all those great stations I listed earlier. In this area, you'll hear us every Saturday night at 7 p.m. on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. This particular show will be on at this time next week. So tune in and say, man, it was a nice night that night. We had a great time. Thank y'all for being here. We love y'all. We're going to get one more song from everybody. And we'll see you on the radio.
Hallelujah, find my eye. executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front of house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Bye.